podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Spurs Show, another World Cup special. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you're around the world. And lovely to be here again. Joining me tonight, my co-host, Theo Delaney. How are you, Theo?
I'm all right. How are you, Mike?
Good. Yeah, what a feast of football it's been in the last week. We're obviously going to discuss that shortly. Also joining us, the actor, stand-up, raconteur, Andy Linden returns. How are you, Andy?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. Yeah, I'm quite peachy.
Good. Looking well. And joining us very kindly, late. I mean, this is dedication for you. Not only has he joined us very last minute after Robert Easton has been held up at the Brazil South Korea game. Let's not go into detail. There's some ticketing issue.
Put some
dodgy tickets. Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's on holiday. He's in India. It's half past midnight. He's still here to talk Tottenham Hotspur. Danny Fenton, how are you, Danny?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I feel like the super sub being brought on at the last minute.
Well, you just told me off air. Who is the Indian match pundit out there on Indian TV that you've got to endure?
Well, the best they could get was Sol Campbell.
Wow. There's that Twitter thing going around that I tweeted. When I don't know if you've seen that, if you follow the Spurs show on Twitter, some hilarious faux pas when they went, who's going to win out of, I think Mizuno's going to win out of Japan and Croatia. And he goes, it'll be France or something ridiculous. Yeah. Paraphrasing. It's all over social media.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny. Well, look, since we last met up a week ago, a week is a long time in World Cup football, England remarkably go marching on. The win yesterday. We now face Hugo Lloris's France on Saturday, in a game that we probably hoped would be a final, but unfortunately it's a quarter final. As we're recording this, Brazil about to kick off against South Korea. Ivan Perisic's Croatia got through on penalties. Some of the worst penalties. You think about it, every 4 years the World Cup comes around, you get there, you've taken Croatia to a draw, and then literally like watching small children taking penalties at the local park, barely touch, get into the keeper. They were terrible, weren't they, Theo? The penalties.
Yeah.
Well done, Perisic, with a great header we just saw.
Yeah, it was very sad because I've got a soft spot for Japan ever since I went there for the World Cup. Yeah. It's a lovely place, and they love it when Japan, you know, that it's they're mad for it. And after all that effort, 2 hours of toil, you know, and never mind all the years that have gone into it, and they've played so well in this tournament.
Yeah.
To actually go out like that with, as you say, some of the worst penalties you've ever seen, it is it's heartbreaking, really. Felt sorry for him, but I was pleased for Perisic and Modric, obviously.
Yeah, they hadn't reached the quarters yet, had they, Japan?
Never.
No, exactly. Never. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it would have been incredible. Let's go back to last night's game, Andy. It could have been a banana skin. There was kind of early on, I think Senegal had an attack, and I thought, oh, God, it's like Cameroon 1990 all over again. But we kind of repelled that, and then it was very professional. No real sort of worries at all. A very good performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I was slightly dubious, as everyone was. They got pace, power, and they're physical. As they, I wouldn't say they beat the Ecuadorians up, but they certainly out-muscled them.
Mm.
And yeah, they had one or two, I'd say half chances, but once we settled down, I think the midfield started wrong. Those boys, I like the idea, I don't know about how you guys feel about it, but Saka on one wing, Foden on the other, they link up well, the young lad,
Bellingham,
Dortman, not behind. And I thought Harry actually had one of his best games there. Came in the second half. And I'm not just piping him up because he's a Tottenham boy, but I actually think Kane is actually one of our best midfield players. he, I mean, not just for Spurs, but he's got an ire or a pass. He's got that where he's one move, at times he's one move in front of everyone. I mean, as I say, I'm not trying to be biased here. Yes, I mean, once we got the goal, I thought at the right time, 2-0, just before half time. I don't know what won the game.
And then the
third goal, just, I don't know how you guys feel, but that you all feel it was a bit of a dead game after that. 3-0 up.
Oh, God, yeah, it was a dead game at that 2-0.
A cup of tea, go and have a shower, go on holiday, go to India. We won.
No, absolutely.
It did become easy, but well done, England. I thought that was a very professional performance at the finish.
Danny. I mean, I've never celebrated a goal like Kane's goal like that, an England goal, in a long, long time. It meant so much to him, so much to England fans, but particularly so much for us Tottenham fans, who have to, again, if you're on social media, just the amount of abuse. One of the greatest strikers, well, certainly the modern game has ever seen, and he took it so well. It was one of those ones you kind of assumed he'd sort of play it across the keeper and just didn't, and it meant a lot to him. And I just hope we can go further in the competition, because if we do, I think he'll keep on scoring. What do you reckon, Danny?
Like you guys, I mean, I'm biased, and I always enjoy watching England more when they're Tottenham players playing. And I think back to the last World Cup in Russia, I think we had five Tottenham players in the England team, let alone the squad. Brazil have scored. there were five Tottenham players in the England squad in the last World Cup. And with Kane, you know, you want him to do well. I actually thought, against everyone else's view, I actually thought he was quite poor in the first half. I thought he was a bit off the pace, and he kept sort of giving the ball away or trying to hold the ball up and getting knocked over. But when that ball came through to him from the Foden pass, as a Tottenham fan, I just knew he was going to score, because we've seen him in that position. We've seen that position so often, and he was just, you know, he was bearing down on goal. He looked like he had all the time in the world, but he made it look like he had a lot of time. And, you know, even that celebration where he jumps up and sort of, you know, does a little thing with his hand. We've seen him do that for Tottenham so often. But, no, look, I really hope for him that we can win something, you know, that would be great.
I mean, Theo, obviously this huge game now on Saturday against Hugo Lloris in goal. Is it unfair to think, if England have a chance, you kind of want their defence to play poorly? As an England fan, you kind of want Hugo to make one of his ricks that he can do occasionally. In the last game against Australia, he didn't have much to do. There was one shot at him. Again, all the pundits watching on English TV were going, oh, great save, Hugo. But fairness, the shot was straight at him. I mean, he just had to just be big. We obviously know a lot of their players well. Presumably, we kind of assume we want what Kyle Walker to play to sort of match maybe the pace of Mbappe. He obviously is the big concern, a great player, bang on form. Do you worry that he'll be the difference between the two teams?
Well, he can. He could potentially be, couldn't he? A lot of World Cups are won by teams that have one totally outstanding player. If you look at, you know, obviously Maradona and Pele and Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, players like that. But and he has that look about him, doesn't he? He does look that special. So he's obviously the main threat. Walker, I'm sure Walker will be picked either in the right back position if he keeps in the same formation, or on the right hand side of a back three, because he can match him for pace. But can he match him for anything else? That's the question. Has he got the? Is he cute enough to cope with Mbappe's tricks and all round excellence? That's the massive problem, because you look at the rest of their team. I think our team is as good as theirs.
Yeah.
I also think actually that we have an array of attacking players that on their day can make things happen. You know, it's just like Mbappe. Any one of them, Harry Kane can have a special day. You know, Foden, Saka have looked better and better. And then you got Rashford, who amazingly didn't get picked, having scored twice in the previous game. He's suddenly back to the form of his life. So, and Bellingham looks like, you know, when Gazza emerged, it was one of those things where Bellingham suddenly, I mean, in that 1990 World Cup, both Gazza and Platt, who looked like good young players before the tournament, you realise they were world-class players. No one thought they were world-class before the tournament. Bellingham could come through and actually, I mean, he pretty much ran that game, I thought, yesterday. He really did. And he's going from strength to strength. So I think we've got a good chance in that game. But I do obviously think Mbappe is the main threat. I also think that Lloris could be a positive for England, because I think Lloris, as we all know, isn't what he was. And a really good goalkeeper in a game like that and in a tournament like this makes a big difference. Maybe he could be the weak link, sadly.
I agree with that. I think... you know, even in yesterday's game, he sort of dropped the ball at one point from a corner.
Yes, of course.
Well, we've all seen his distribution, you know, how poor it can be at times with his feet. If England can, you know, do the high press, you think that, you know, they might force a mistake. And even if you look back to the last World Cup, people often forget Lloris made one of the worst mistakes ever in a World Cup final. But because France won, no one ever really talks about it. So I think... You know, Theo's right. England will target Lloris as much as they can.
Andy, do you think the England midfield? I mean, we've obviously discussed the worries of Mbappe, but Mbappe can only be dangerous if he gets the ball. Do you think maybe having Henderson in there, getting the supply so he doesn't effectively get the ball in dangerous areas? Presumably, that's what England will try and do.
Yes, I thought he had a relatively. Time, Henderson. Look, to be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of Hinge, really, to be honest. But he's had a good game, and he did put his mark on the game. It's a very hard call, that game, Saturday. I know it's obvious, but I can't say. We're in with a chance. But it's got to be more than just Mbappe, though, as good as he is. They've got some good players. The ex-Arsenal boy, Giroud, good player, holds the ball up well. They have got quality, and they're missing some big players, but we're not without a chance. Henderson, he played well. I'm not his biggest fan, to be honest. He's got an eye for a pass, and I hope he carries on in that vein of form.
No, I agree.
But I'm not his biggest fan.
Theo, when you look at all the as we've recalled this, the third quarterfinal, second place, there's games to come. Who do you see in that kind of last four? If you kind of had to look ahead, I mean, you know, most predictions have been completely out the window this World Cup so far. But as they say, when it gets to business end of the competition, you expect the big teams to come through. France got through very easily in the quarterfinal. We got through easily to the quarterfinal. Who do you then see could go on? Who do you think the last four will be?
Well, Brazil had just gone 2-0 up against Korea after 13 minutes. So yeah. I would say Brazil-Argentina would be an amazing semi-final. And Brazil, and I certainly could see them. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the draw, England or France... against Spain or Portugal, it looks like. I think Portugal could beat Spain. Yes. I think Spain proved suddenly looked fallible, didn't they, in that last group game? And Portugal got so many good players. They've gone slightly under the radar, Portugal, I think. So I could see England-Portugal in the other semi-final all being well. I think, we obviously give Portugal a great game, and then you're looking at Brazil or Argentina, which could be the toss of a coin. Those two look like really good teams. Yeah. That's how it's sort of shaping up. But as you say, I mean, you could easily end. I mean, that's the sort of prediction game that ends up with where you end up with egg on your face. But that's where it's looking for me.
Yeah. Well, let's ask the others in a second. Let's actually just very quickly go to a very, very short break. Back in a second.
Get all the latest World Cup headlines and bite-sized opinion on the World Cup Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Join Mark Smith and a rotating lineup of contributors from the world of football and entertainment as they dissect all the big talking points in one small package. Whether it's bringing you reaction to the games, fallout from a bad managerial decision, or just the latest scandal to engulf the host nation, the World Cup Whistleblowers Daily Podcast will be covering it concisely every weekday of the tournament. Search for The Whistleblowers, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back from the break. Before we carry on the second half, just to remind you, on December the 20th, it's our Spurs Show Christmas event at the 100 Club on Oxford Street. Our special guest is England, ex-England goalkeeper, Tottenham goalkeeper, England's number one, Paul Robertson, joins us. Go to billetto.co.uk for tickets. Tickets are nice and cheap, helping with all the bills that everyone's laying out at the moment. And should be a great one. DJ, quiz. And also, I can exclusively reveal the wonderful new Tottenham 81 book, which you probably heard about. Steve Pearman and Julie Welsh have written, that was exclusively on sale at the Spurs shop. Well, because there's no actual games before Christmas at the stadium, delighted to announce that VSP will be selling the signed Steve Pearman books at the event. So if you were thinking of coming along and you're thinking, oh, great, I can now get some lovely Christmas presents in central London, come along, pick that book up at the event, and as well as other Tottenham books. So, yeah, go and get your tickets at billetto.co.uk. Really want as many of you there. Have a nice old Christmas celebration as we preview the second half of the season. And even a cheaper way of coming along is become a Spurs Show season ticket holder. Go to season.spursshow.net. Getting free for all our events, including the Christmas show. January, we've got Jerry Armstrong, ex-striker. February will be announced shortly. So join us there. And don't forget, follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Please leave us a nice review. And a quick plug to our World Cup panel show that's running on Never Write Off the Germans. I've been on it. Theo's been on it. Paul Hawksby was on it today. Listen out for that. A couple of episodes to go there. A really, really good show. Andy, if you were a betting man and you had to bet. I know. Well, you are a betting man. I was trying to be nice. I didn't want to blow your cover. Where would your money be on for the last four?
Oh, I kind of got to go along with Theo. I've got a feeling that Morocco are going to overturn Spain. But I just think they're a joy to watch. I don't know if you've seen Morocco. They are organised. They're a joy to watch. They move the ball intelligently. I do think there's going to be one upset coming up. And, yeah, Sean, I took Morocco. I'm probably tempted to nose it up now. But Morocco, possibly Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Our one is so hard to call.
Mm.
We're not without a chance. I'll stick my neck out. We're bound to lose now and say it'll be England. I've just nosed it up, guys.
But I like your Morocco shout. I like that. I'll go along with that.
They're not without a chance.
No, I agree.
They had, all right, they were ageing, the Belgians and the Croatians, but they're old campaigners, European campaigners, and they dealt very well with them.
Absolutely.
I just think there could be an upset, and as good as Spain are, well, that's a shout.
Yeah. Danny, what do you reckon? Your last four, what would your pick be?
I think Brazil definitely looks like they are going to be in the last four. I think that Morocco are a decent team, but I think Spain's experience, probably I would go with Spain.
6-1 Morocco are to beat Spain. Just had a quick look with most bookies.
That's good odds. England, if we can beat France, then we can probably go all the way, because I think, you know, that psychologically beating France would be massive.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, we owe Brazil one, but we owe Argentina one, and we owe Portugal one as well. So we owe everyone one. But I actually worry that England's defence, you know, even yesterday, Maguire gave the ball away a few times. And actually, even Walker was being done for pace yesterday a couple of times. So as much as I want England to go all the way, I actually think France probably will make it in the semi-finals. And then my wild card, if you call it a wild card, would be, I think Holland will beat Argentina. I think Van Gaal is very pragmatic in the way he plays. He will, you know, he's got wonderful players like Vincent Janssen and Steve Bergwijn up front. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've been grinding out results, and I think they might be a bit wily for Holland. So for Argentina, so I fancy Holland, France, England, and Spain as the last four.
Interesting. They're sorry, like, France. They're like France, 2.5 to 1. Yeah. Holland to beat Argentina. The other ones I've kind of were kind of one of my outside ones because they're so got no superstars. Switzerland, I think. Switzerland, maybe Portugal. I know Portugal lost the last game, but they already qualified. But Switzerland, you can get about 3.5 to 1 to beat Portugal. Thinking now back to Tottenham, obviously, very soon the transfer window opens. All the major world clubs are looking at players at the World Cup. Theo, anyone that stood out for you that you've seen a couple of times now and went, oh, I'd love to see him in the Lily White shirt? Apart from
Bellingham,
obviously. Bellingham. I don't know if we can afford him, could we?
No. That Croatian centre half, apparently.
Gvardiol.
Yeah, everybody's looking at him, apparently. But he is exactly. I mean, I think if our need is great at the back, a bit like England's, really. We could do with an upgrade in the wing back positions and in centre half. So, yeah, I like the look of him. He'd be good. Wing back wise, Hakimi, you know, the Moroccan. He went from Inter Milan to Paris Saint Germain. I don't know if he's a regular starter at Paris Saint Germain or not. But he, when I saw him play for Morocco in one of those early games, I just thought, my God, he's exactly what we need. I mean, he'd cost about 70 or 80 million quid, but he's played for Conte before, you know.
Mm.
So those are the ones, but they're all a bit over ambitious, really. I couldn't claim, I'd be a useless scout because I haven't eked out, I haven't worked, you know, found any gems that no one else has noticed.
Yeah, Danny, anyone that you've seen that you kind of think could be worth a punt?
I don't think they're hidden gems, but I like Rabiot, the French.
We've been linked with Rabiot before, haven't we? And as far as I'm aware, we've tried there and he's kind of turned us down a bit. This is
a bit snobby. Yeah.
He's a bit snobby. Yeah, yeah. And I kind but of, we again, we I don't it. See it. I don't see it with him. I'm watching him thinking, oh, we've been linked with him before. I don't think, he'll probably score 2 now on Saturday, I think he does enough in 90 minutes.
If I remember correctly, he didn't want to join us because we weren't in the Champions League. But I think, you know, the fact that this window, you know, is before we go back in the Champions League, you never know. The other one, he's not a surprise player, but Memphis Depay is somebody I've always really
another
rated.
One we've been linked with for a long, long time. Always linked with Depay for the last 5 years.
And I think Barcelona are prepared to get rid of him for next to nothing. You know, he would be like a Van der Vaart type signing for me. He could come in and he would be guaranteed goals, in my opinion. So those two, although not hidden gems, I think they're both very strong players who would who would boost the team.
Yeah. I totally agree. Andy, anyone that you've seen, the games you've watched, anyone?
Well, yeah, same as you guys. Look, Theo mentioned them all the games that I've been. Fine. I just don't think we can afford them, guys.
Mm.
We're looking at 60, 70 mil. The Croatian lads, I think he's an excellent player. And obviously 20. He reads the game well.
Mm.
Good feet. He's, you're right, he's everything we want in terms of that team. You're looking at 60, 70 mil. Are we going to afford that? I don't think so.
Well, it's Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, you hope you do. The fact that, you know, we're in the knockout stages of the Champions League, you know, fourth in the league at the moment, without playing particularly well. It's a weird season. We hope we kick on. We hope our players, okay, obviously,
do you think we can get him though? I mean, because he's a young, everyone in Europe wants him. And I'm hearing figures of, 60, 70 mil. Would we go that far?
Well, I mean, it's, again, we're going to start talking about the ambition of the board and wanting to keep Conte and go on. We don't know, obviously, what's going on. Presumably before the World Cup, various players have been linked. I know that Weston McKennie at USA, who was at Juventus, linked. I don't think he was great in that last game. I thought USA might have won the last one and they kind of petered out and I don't think played well in the last game. And he kind of didn't really stamp his authority on the game. I'm not saying that means you can't do it in the Premier League, but you kind of want these elite players in a World Cup to like really, really.
Don't you think we've got something like you guys, I really want us to have a midfielder, but don't you think I think we need something different, a midfielder that can give us something more than just legs and energy.
How about Luka Modric? Should we go and try and get Luka Modric?
I'll pay him. Come, Luke, come back just for half a season.
Absolutely.
But I just feel we need a midfielder that can just give us a bit more creativity, a bit of penetration.
I think one thing that's positive, Mike, is that Tottenham players have actually played well in the World Cup. You know, I think Perisic actually he's played better than I've seen him play for Tottenham in the World Cup. Yeah. And, you know, Richarlison has scored as many goals in the World Cup as he scored for Tottenham. So Bentancur was Uruguay's best player. Absolutely. So you'd have to hope that our players will come back, you know, firing on all cylinders because they played well.
Well, he's injured, isn't he, Bentancur? We don't know how bad the injury is, but he went off injured. I mean, they've got time. I mean, obviously, most of the other Tottenham players are not part of the World Cup are now back at training now. It's like another pre-season, isn't it, Theo, now for the players there? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, hopefully they get... I mean, that was one of the reasons I wouldn't have minded Croatia going out, because you think Perisic, he's 33, he's played 2 hours. He might have to play another 2 hours at the weekend, whereas if he'd got his feet up in 2 weeks, that would have been really good news for us.
Yeah.
Not many of our players, important players, have gone out. So it's only... They only get a rest. They only get a kind of pre-season style rest if they don't go all the way. So if England go all the way and, if Croatia keep stay in, or I'm just trying to think of, well, Heung-min Son's playing now. I don't think he's going all the way.
No, looks like they're on the way back.
Yeah, they're playing quite well though, given the circumstances. But we'd just have to see. The thing we really wanted to avoid was injuries, and Bentancur is a worry because he's so important a player for us now. He's like, he's almost, he's close to being our most important player all of a sudden. So we don't want to be missing in. On the upside, the Gooners have lost Jesus, haven't they? So that's something.
3 months.
Does anyone know the severity of Bentancur injury at all?
Not yet. No.
There's no news so far. Yeah. So we just have to hope.
There's no news. Other bits and pieces of Tottenham news today. Some of our February fixtures, surprise, surprise, have been moved from Saturday to Sundays. Our game against Man City, West Ham, Chelsea, big month in February, and now all Sunday kickoffs. And the club also announced, and well done, the pressure from the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust, particularly, the AC Milan Champions League game is now a Category B game, almost downgraded to make sure fans can afford, because obviously previous games haven't sold out. Yeah. And also, just on a side note, big friend of the show, also connected with the trust, Pete Hain. Pete Hain going through a bit of a health scare at the moment. Pete, if you're listening, we wish you well and hope everything works out as we all hope it does. Theo, anything you'd like to add? Theo, please plug your latest episode of Life Goals, Martin O'Neill. Who doesn't like Martin O'Neill? You've got that
Martin
one.
O'Neill, yeah. Brilliant. Such a lovely bloke. Oh, Richarlison's just scored.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah, talking to Spurs players of the World Cup. There you go.
I've had him to score any time, so I'm quite happy with that.
Oh, really? Congratulations. There you go. 3-0. I've got Martin O'Neill on this week, who was an absolutely lovely bloke. And, he's got that lovely Irish way about him where he's just very eloquent and extremely entertaining. You know, I've got some good stories. And when you think about it, I mean, he played against George in his third game for Nottingham Forest when he was 19. He scored against Man United with Law, Best and Charlton on the pitch at Old Trafford. Can you believe that? It hadn't occurred to me that he'd been playing at Forest since 71, because, of course, he won the European Cup with them in 1980. Wow. But he'd been there all that time. So he's got all sorts of club stories, Best stories, Fergie stories, the lot. Good bloke, yeah.
Lovely. We'll go and check that out, Life Goals. Always a great listen. Well, look, gentlemen, thank you so much. Next week, me and Theo will be here with Sean Singleton and Coach Ali Speechley, hopefully discussing a famous victory against the French and a semi-final place. Danny, enjoy the rest of your holiday. Make sure you tell Campbell's next on you. Turn the volume down. enjoy the sightseeing there. Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys. My pleasure.
And me and Theo will be with you next week. Until then, come on, England, and come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.